Happy Friday, Mike Broomhead.
You know, the best part about this Friday is it doesn't feel like Friday to me. You know what I mean?
Why?
I don't know.
That's not a good thing.
It is a great thing because I get tomorrow off and I don't think I should. It's going to be like a bonus day off. You know, it feels like a Wednesday or a Thursday, like tomorrow I've got to be back. So tomorrow morning when my alarm doesn't go off, it's going to be a great Saturday.
Are you going to think you overslept?
No, I've done that before. Have you ever done that?
I do that on the weekends. I usually will wake up around 3 o'clock in the morning because I usually get up just before 2. And I'll jump up and look at my clock and think, oh, no. And then I'll be like, okay, what day is it? Did Jim Sharp bring donuts yesterday? Yeah, he did. So today's Saturday.
So back in the mid-90s when I was working in construction, I used to get to the job site very, very early because I was the foreman for our crew. So I'd bring a newspaper. When you read the newspaper and coffee, do the crossword puzzle in the van.
Absolutely.
Did the same thing. Got up one morning, did the crossword puzzle, had my coffee, and it still wasn't light out. I looked at my watch. It was 3:45 in the morning. So I must have woke up about 1:30 or 2, just thought it was time to go to work.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that happened. That actually happened to me. All right. Well, have a good weekend, Jamie.
You too.
All right. Thanks. And good morning, everyone. Sorry about the trip down memory lane. We are going to start off this morning talking about the economy, and we've got a great guest at 9:05. We are going to speak with Ken Peterson at 9:05, VP of Sales and Marketing for Shea Homes. We've talked with him before. Mr. Peterson's kind of an expert in the area. We're going to talk about home building, home prices, availability, and what needs to happen in order to get affordable housing. Should be an interesting conversation. And at 9:35, we are going to speak with a recruiter from the Arizona National Guard. Stories have been in the news in the last year or so about the military not meeting its recruiting goals. The podcast we just released is with General Muhlenbeck, who is the general that oversees the National Guard and the Air Guard here in Arizona. If you want a fascinating story, superstar athlete as a young person, college athlete, went into the military, represented the military as an athlete, a lawyer. So she made her way up to the command ranks in different ways than most people do. But she is a great leader. She has got the respect of so many people that work around her and work with her and work for her. If you want to see a great podcast, that podcast is up and available. Please go check it out at ktar.com or wherever you download podcasts. But at the same time, talking about recruiting and her saying, you know, that's such a great opportunity for people if they want to join the Guard. And so I decided, let's talk to a recruiter. Let's find out if you're a young person or if you know a young person that may be looking for a direction in their life. We'll talk about it at 9:35. We're going to start off with the local economy. We know that the inflation numbers have stayed higher than expected, and we also know that the GDP grew a lot slower than expected. Not the direction we want to see. They wanted to see a slowdown in the economy. We wanted to see a drop in prices. We're not seeing those prices drop as quickly as we need, but we have seen the GDP, the gross domestic product, just, you know, it's at a crawl right now. Now, hopefully that is kind of an anomaly. Hopefully we're going to see a break-even point where we're going to see those prices start coming down now. It's my hope that that happens. Arizona's positioned very well, but there are a lot of things, and it's interesting what's available. I want you to, there's a great story this morning from our news team over at KTAR.com. New study shows the massive economic impact at the Phoenix Airport system. It is really a great story. A study done by the W.P. Carey School of Business says that the economic impact of the Phoenix Airport system, including Sky Harbor and others, $44.3 billion into the local economy, which is incredible. That was in 2022. It's an increase of nearly 15% from 2016. Again, kind of spinning off what the mayor did at the State of the City address. The mayor talked about an expansion at Sky Harbor Airport, the building of another terminal. Let's get some other airlines in here. And I think we are going to see nothing but good things in that kind of growth. There's a traffic issue. It being right where it is in the middle of town is an issue, which is why our skyline isn't as tall as other cities when you're in the pathway of the airplanes in downtown Phoenix. But they, to the north, we're starting to see more building at higher places in Tempe where they make their routes and they come, you know, the planes kind of follow the pathway of the 202 and then into Sky Harbor Airport to land. But we do know that the airport system here is a huge economic boom. But it's not just the amount of money that it's bringing in. It shows the travel that is increasing in and out of the valley. More and more people are coming here, whether it's vacationing here or coming here for business purposes. It's a hub for many things. I think it shows great things. It's one of the questions asked and answered in the story is how many jobs are supported by the Phoenix airports? The combined system, including direct, indirect, and induced impacts, support more than 245,000 jobs, with the workers that work in that industry making about $14.8 billion in wages and benefits. That is incredible. Sky Harbor Airport itself, just under 48,000 direct jobs. That was in 2022. It's even going to be higher now. Those are great things. But the other side of this, and this is the part of it that where I talk about where we can improve. And if you are, if you've ever worked in an organization that is always looking to get better, I will tell you, I learned a lot from coaching football, as silly as that may sound to you. I've coached with people that were okay at it, and I've coached with people that were really good at it. And I would venture to guess that the very good head coaches in a football organization, by the way, congratulations to the Cardinals with the picks they had yesterday in the first round. Really good. Marvin Harrison Jr., Robinson, these two picks that they had were amazing. I may talk about that later just because I'm such a football fan, but when you have a head football coach that is a great organizer and is always trying to make the product better, you've got a really good organization. And I coached with guys or four guys as I was an assistant coach in people that were really good at what they did, and they were very good at their critique. We would play games on Friday nights like you do in high school football. We would watch films on Saturday morning, and we would assess not just our competition, but we would assess our performance. We would pick it apart where we were good, especially if we won. We won a lot of games. We were a really good team. But you pick apart where your shortcomings are and how you can improve. And you look at those and say, that's what a great organization does. Never satisfied, always looking to be better. And great businesses are the same way. Great cities are the same way. I pulled this morning from AZ Central. South Phoenix businesses have 1 year left to claim help for the light rail construction woes. Small businesses in South Phoenix struggling with disruption caused by light rail construction have one more year to get financial help from Valley Metro. Valley Metro encourages small businesses to take advantage of the grants being offered, as the minimum amount of businesses will receive has been raised to $4,500. So now they've been provided grants worth anywhere from $3,000 to $9,000 locally, and the small and micro businesses are based on the construction corridor, the South Central extension of the downtown hub of light rail. So this is funded through the Phoenix Transportation 2050. This extension is projected to cost $1.3 billion and include 5.5 miles of new light tracks. The extension begins at McKinley Street, 1st and Central Avenues, creates a loop to the existing Valley Metro Rail, then continues south on Central to Baseline Road. The reason why I bring this up is I have never been a fan of the way we've done light rail. From its inception, I've not been a fan. I think public transportation is necessary. I think a thriving public transportation system is a key to a great city. I think working class people or anybody that chooses not to drive a vehicle. We now have rideshare, which many people can't afford for the things they want to do. Many people couldn't afford to take rideshare to and from work every day, but that does have some kind of an impact on traffic and people that don't have vehicles that need to get somewhere. But a public transportation system, the idea of light rail was supposed to alleviate traffic. It drives on the same streets as cars and buses. It just does. It eliminates the ability to make a left turn where you need to get to a business. You've got to go up to a light. You've got to make a U-turn. It's inconvenient. And when they first started the main stretch of light rail in downtown Phoenix, they didn't realize, and I don't know how they didn't, that they were going to destroy businesses. And they absolutely destroyed businesses in downtown Phoenix, some of them that had been here for decades. So they actually had a website created called Shop the Line. And so the mayor of Phoenix at the time was encouraging people to go online. This is before it was really a big thing to shop online and shop at these businesses online to support them while they were going through this. There were grants and websites and all these other things given so businesses could survive. So when the light rail was going to South Phoenix, there was actually a group of business owners that said, four lanes, no trains. We don't want light rail in South Phoenix. City of Phoenix kind of tabled the idea for a little while until some of the screaming and yelling calmed down, and then they approved it and moved it into South Phoenix anyway. A lot of businesses don't want it in South Phoenix. You ride on light rail now. There is not very many cops that are able to patrol it. There is a lot of people on there that are suffering mentally, and I'm not joking around. There are people that ride it that are suffering from mental illness. It's a scary place to ride. It's a scary place to be on. Now, there are some that love it. If you're going between ASU's main campus in Tempe and the downtown campuses downtown, it's terrific. If you want to get into a ball game in downtown Phoenix, it's useful. But the everyday use for the billions of dollars we spent is just not working. It's not working the way as good. It's not working nearly as good as it should. And if you've never ridden it, there is no oversight, meaning you're supposed to buy a ticket, but it's mostly on the honor system. So unless there's a cop checking tickets, people are riding it for nothing. It's not getting the money back. And the people that are riding it sometimes are getting out of the elements. And so they're just camping out on this thing. It's just, I say this because we can do better. We should be doing better. In the business sense, here we have the airport system that's bringing in billions and billions of dollars. And we've got a public transportation system that is subpar in many ways. And I wish we'd work it out. In a moment, we are going to talk about the border. Yesterday, Representative Juan Ciscomani was in the studio talking about a visit to the border, a bipartisan visit to the border. We'll give you an update and some new poll numbers. All that's coming up next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
You can't see it.
It's electric.
You gotta see
it. All right. Let me try to get through this. Everybody, we should turn these cameras that way. Even Jeff Munn is doing the electric slide right now.
Is that what I was doing?
Yeah, that's what you were doing.
Thank goodness the cam's not working in here yet.
Thank God it's Friday. All right, listen, we are going all in. KTAR News is giving you a chance to win Suns tickets. 7 a.m. hour during Arizona's morning news on this show in the 11 a.m. hour. And then 3 and 5 p.m. hours in the afternoon shows. We're going to give you a code word during those hours. You text that code word to 411923. You get a shot at winning home Suns playoff tickets. Don't forget to tune in at 11 o'clock in the 11 o'clock hour on this show. All right. I don't know why that made me giggle, but that was great. We all just started dancing. It's Friday. It is Friday. What do you guys drink? What's in that coffee cup?
I will never tell.
All right. So yesterday in studio with us was Juan Ciscomani, represents a Republican representative to the U.S. House in Southern Arizona. He is in a border district. He is also a naturalized citizen. He is partnering on a piece of legislation and this border visit with an Arizona Democrat in Greg Stanton. So there is a bipartisan working relationship on this. And as the congressman explained, when he was working for Governor Ducey, Greg Stanton was mayor of Phoenix, and they also worked together. They've known each other for a long time. What's interesting is I know this is breaking a lot of rules in the minds of some, which I'm confused by. We all get angry because Congress isn't getting anything done. And then when two people of opposite parties in the same state work together on something, their bases get upset with them. And I don't understand this. If we can get something done, and here's what is getting to me. Exclusive poll. Americans are warming up to mass deportations. The general public, 51%. We've now crossed the 50% threshold. 51% of Americans support mass deportations of undocumented immigrants. The reason why these numbers concern me, and I'll get to that in a moment. White people, 56%. But listen to this. Latino Americans polled, 45%. 45%. This isn't about you should come here legally. This is mass deportations. 40% of black people polled. Political affiliation, Republicans are higher than the other two groups. Independents are at 46. Democrats are at 42. Baby boomers are at 60%. Gen X at 53. Millennials at 48. Gen Z at 35. The reason why this is important: two-thirds of Americans believe illegal immigration is a real crisis and not a media narrative. The American people are fed up, and the problem is we are going to lose our grip on legal immigration. We have done a disservice. We have done a disservice in the way we talk about things. And we're going to get into this later on with the issue of homelessness, that now it's unhoused because the vernacular you use can be insulting and it can be. Listen, I understand, and I'm not trying to, when I say illegal immigrant, or even if you want me to say migrant, someone who's in the country, undocumented migrant, the identifier that somebody has done it the wrong way is not a punishment nor a condemnation of that person. What it does, though, is it differentiates from the person that's done it the right way. I told the story of my friend who just recently has been telling me his story, and I've been thinking about it a lot because he is a great example of the problem with today's system. Here's a guy that's just a working class guy. And has a fiance and a 4-year-old daughter living in Mexico because he can't get the fiance visa to bring his fiance here. Now, he's gone through the paperwork to have his daughter deemed an American citizen, which she is. She has a Social Security card. But the reason why the daughter's not here is you're not going to separate a daughter, a 4-year-old, from her mother. So she's going to a school in Mexico. She's going to be ready to be going to an American school. She should be educated in these schools. She's an American. They can't get the visa done. Having to reach out to members, literally an act of Congress, meeting with, talking with offices of members of Congress in order to try to get something done. In the meantime, you've got families that are spending $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 paying the cartels, crossing the U.S. border illegally, making false asylum claims, clogging up and bottlenecking the system, and they have their children. Now you have a right to work. Your children have a right to go to school. This guy feels like a dope. He's not going to do it the wrong way. He's absolutely doing it the right way. His fiance wouldn't have it any other way. But here we have the dichotomy of the problem. We are a benevolent nation. We are a good nation. We admire people that come here for the right reasons. I didn't get into this much with Congressman Ciscomani yesterday. Whether you agree with his politics or you don't, here's a guy that came here legally with his family. It took them almost 10 years, I believe it was, to become American citizens. He's an American citizen, grew up here in the U.S., and is now representing his district and the citizens of that district in Congress. It's an amazing accomplishment. It's one to be celebrated by all Americans. This is exactly what the American dream is. You come to this country, you do it the right way, you work hard, and your children do amazing things. It's the story I've told and heard and witnessed over and over and over again. The American people are souring on immigration because we have convoluted immigration and we call everyone a migrant. Not everyone is a migrant. Some are here illegally. And now you're talking about a huge number of Americans just want mass deportations. You're going to have to fix it. If you don't fix it, we're in big trouble. We are in absolutely big trouble if it's not fixed soon. So for me, the answer lies in policy from the White House and action from the Congress. So now you've got a Democrat in Greg Stanton and a Republican in Juan Ciscomani working on legislation and communication and border security to help shore up the border. But we also need pieces of legislation that can be voted on border security. And then we can work on legislation that fix the broken immigration system. That's not unreasonable. And that's what most Americans are embracing. The problem is the base of both parties won't let the two parties work together. No way we're going to give the other side a victory on something. Shameful. Shameful. Coming up in just a moment, we have our Big Q poll question of the day. So stick around for that. It's coming up here in just a moment.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
All right, let's get to the Big Q poll question of the day. Julie has been doing a great job with these all week, and I have faith it's going to end the week on a strong note. What do you got, Julia?
All right, today's poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers, says the Arizona Cardinals selected wide receiver prospect Marvin Harrison Jr. with the 4th overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. How do you feel about the pick? GM Monty Austinfort got it right. Kyler Murray has a number one wide receiver option. They should have traded the pick, or I would have taken someone else at number 4.
I think they did an excellent job. You can't go wrong with this guy.
I agree.
The only thing, and I'm not an expert, I'm a fan like everybody else, but I'm going to ask you, because you're such a sports fan. Were you not surprised at what the Falcons did?
What, you mean after they signed Cousins to a crazy contract?
They're paying the guy $100 million and they sign a quarterback.
Right, and then Cousins after is like, oh yeah, I'm a little stunned. Me too, pal.
But at least he's getting paid. The other thing about Marvin Harrison Jr. is I like the idea. I like that he is standing up for himself when it comes to imaging, that he's not signing on to have his jersey sold until he makes some money on the deal. I think that's a smart move for a young man. The problem is I think it may start a lot of this with other players, maybe not going to be in Madden, but I like the idea that they're standing up and saying, that's my name and I want something for it.
Well, they're learning about what happened to them in college, I think.
Yeah.
You know, naming, yeah. Recognition, rights, how the colleges were using them, yep. To all that. So.
Absolutely. Great job, Julia. The Big Q poll question of the day is brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. It's at KTAR.com. You can go there and you can see how other people voted. We have got a lot coming up, including a recruiter, and we're talking housing in the next hour.